News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, Monday edition of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. If it's come up in our news coverage, it'll show up on Our Take in a more extended fashion. We hear the full conversations with individuals who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's Great Southwest. Coming up on today's program, we've got plenty to talk about. Actually, a lot of it flood-related. We'll get some information from the Sheriff's Department about their disaster declaration. Actually, the county board did this on Friday. We'll learn about that on today's program. We'll catch up with the Salvation Army in Niles to find out what they are doing last week to help people and what they'll be doing moving forward. Now they're starting to look at the long term. We'll find out about that. We'll also hear the Coast Guard's thoughts on that. And also today we'll check in with Consumers Energy to learn about a recent announcement that they made about how they are shifting away from fossil fuels, trying to generate more of their electricity here in Michigan from renewable sources. It's a big goal of the companies. We'll learn about that on today's program. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. I hope you had a lovely weekend, especially if you were not in the flood-affected areas. At least it didn't really rain all this weekend, at least not a lot anyway. And coming up next segment of the show, we'll check in with the Berrien County Sheriff's Department to learn about the meaning of Friday's disaster declaration. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around, we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Monday edition of the program. Plenty to talk about on today's show. Of course, there's the ongoing flooding situation in Niles and Berrien Springs. It started to get a little bit better over the weekend, but it still is a problem. And now the shift is sort of focusing on what happens next. What to do about all the people who had their property damaged. There's going to have to be a very, very large effort to help those individuals recover from the floods. And over the weekend, the Berrien County Sheriff's Department yesterday actually held a press conference in Buchanan to talk about what's been going on the past few days. Speaking at the press conference was Berrien County Sheriff's Department Chief Deputy Robert Boyce. We'll hear more from him in just a minute. But he said yesterday, as the waters go back down, the focus will be on, of course, cleanup and recovery now that a state of emergency has been declared.
Part of declaring a local state of emergency is to attempt to get additional resources to help with the recovery effort, either through the state of Michigan and maybe eventually through the federal government system.
We'll learn a little bit more about that coming up in this segment. So that was Berrien County Sheriff's Department Chief Deputy Robert Boyce. He and others speaking last night at the press conference in Buchanan about what's up next. Berrien County Health Department Health Officer Nikki Britton was there. She said one big thing to keep in mind is not to come into contact with the floodwaters.
I would not recommend contact with the floodwaters. If you do have contact with the floodwaters, I would recommend bathing immediately and trying to ensure that the water doesn't get into any open wounds.
So there's that side of it. Chief Deputy Robert Boyce also said last night, there are some roads in Berrien County that simply will not be safe to travel for quite a while.
We need to have civil engineers inspect the structural sound of the roads before they can make certain that they are certified for vehicles to drive on.
So the roads were in bad enough shape as it is, and now there are areas where they're just completely unsafe to go on. Those are the ones where they put up barricades. So remember, obey those barricades when you see them. Also speaking at yesterday's press conference was Breeze Edel with the American Red Cross. She said they're on standby to help people who have either lost their homes or who have suffered significant damage from the flood.
Some of those people already know that they do not have a home to go back to, and that's where our mental health experts come in so that we can offer comfort and aid to them.
So we'll talk more about that in just a second here. There has been a fund set up by the United Way and the Berrien Community Foundation. They're raising money for the Red Cross to help with this. Tomorrow we'll have United Way President Anna Murphy on the show. We'll get a preview of that in just a minute. But right now, I thought we'd hear more from the Sheriff's Department's Robert Boyce about the disaster declaration made on Friday and what it means for the area. What happens next? I had a chance to catch up with him about that. So let's hear what he had to tell me. Okay, Chief Deputy. So the County Board of Commissioners sent out this disaster declaration on Friday. Tell us what this means.
Mainly means that it's a formality when local municipalities or the local counties declare a state of emergency, so we can attempt to get further assistance with resources in the recovery and damage assessments as a result of the natural disaster. And it also means that local municipalities will be able to use the County of Berrien's resources.
So cities like Niles or Berrien Springs, they can rely on the county to share some of the resources it gets from the state or from the feds?
That's correct.
Are you aware of any time previously where a state of emergency had to be declared in Berrien County?
Not personally, no.
So now that you've done this, what sort of circumstances did you outline in the emergency declaration?
Well, a lot of it's going to be based on damage assessment as the water levels go down. However, we want to be prepared as we move forward.
So at this point now, we want to assess the damage. And what sort of need are you expecting throughout the county?
Until we can do a damage assessment, it's really up in the air. Okay. We're just preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
So the county sends this emergency declaration to the state, and then what happens from there?
It'll be up to the governor to decide if he wants to send us resources to assist in our recovery, or he may also declare a state of emergency for the state and forward it on to the federal authorities. A lot will be based on how many other counties and municipalities in the state were affected.
Okay, that was Berrien County Sheriff's Department Chief Deputy Robert Boyce with a little bit on the disaster declaration. Now, this declaration applies to the entire county, so any community that was affected by the flooding qualifies for help under it. It's up to the governor now to decide whether or not he accepts that declaration. I imagine he will. And so right now, the main thing you can do to help people out is to donate to either the American Red Cross or the United Way or the Berrien Community Foundation or the Salvation Army. There are plenty of places to turn. Next segment, we'll talk to the Salvation Army about their flood response. But speaking of that United Way fund that I mentioned, tomorrow on the show, we'll have United Way of Southwest Michigan President Anna Murphy in here to talk with us about the relief fund that they have set up with the Berrien Community Foundation. I've got a little preview here. United Way of Southwest Michigan President Anna Murphy tells us they teamed up with the Berrien Community Foundation to set up this disaster relief fund. She told me a little more about them.
So we're looking at not only immediate but long-term, because once the water has receded, there's going to be some long-term impact of that, and we feel that with our partnership, we can help Red Cross address those in a better capacity.
The money they collect for this fund will ultimately be passed along to the Southwest Michigan Red Cross. Anna told me more about that.
They really do have a really strong system on disasters and natural disasters. They have a very strong model of identifying and training volunteers to handle such disasters.
What I wanted to know, though, was can we be sure the money donated to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's fundraiser to their disaster fund, can we be sure it will actually go to people here in Southwest Michigan?
The dollars will be raised through the portal that United Way has set up. The dollars will not be released to American Red Cross until we know exactly what they're going to be using them for. And then they have to stay in Berrien or Cass County. It's Southwest Michigan. It's our service area. And then they'll have to do some pretty diligent reporting back to us before the dollars are released.
So there you go. That's United Way of Southwest Michigan President Anna Murphy telling me money donated to the new disaster relief fund goes into a fund held by the Berrien Community Foundation, then to the Red Cross. Once the Red Cross can show, it will all stay local. You can donate to this fund. You can just go to the United Way's website. We do have a link to it at WSJM.com. You can also send a text message that says UWSM Relief to the number 51555. What that'll do is it'll pull up your browser and bring up a web page where you can choose how much you want to contribute. And Anna was telling me within about a half hour of them setting up this fund last week, they started to get donations. So hopefully they raise a good amount of money to help all the people affected by the flooding. Berrien County Sheriff's Department now looking at assessing the damage and people who had to leave their homes. now getting a chance to go back in there and take a look at what kind of damage they have to deal with. Next segment of the show, we'll talk with the Salvation Army to find out about how they've been helping people and what they're doing to look at the next steps ahead. We're already starting to turn our focus to what comes up next, which reminds me of one more aspect of this, which is what the Coast Guard had to tell me on Friday. I talked with the Coast Guard station in St. Joe's Chief Petty Officer Lazaro Lopez, and one thing that he told me that I hadn't thought about yet was that the St. Joseph River will be affected by the flood for months. He says there's debris they've got to watch out for. It'll still be there as we move into the boating season.
I believe the next step will be to evaluate the river, see for damage. There is a lot of debris flowing down the St. Joseph River. So as we move into getting ready for the boating season, we want to caution everyone to be careful with the, we call them deadheads. A deadhead, it can be an object that is majority submerged under the water that you can't see. And when you hit it, obviously knock a hole into your hull, or it can create a hazard on a navigable waterway.
So that's Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer Lazaro Lopez from the St. Joe station there telling us they'll have to watch the river for months to come with all the debris in there. And the Coast Guard, of course, last week was helping evacuate some people in the Royalton Township area. Petty Officer Lopez told me it all went quite smoothly, and he thinks it's because of the partnerships that local first responders already have with each other. So all that work to prepare for emergencies did help last week. Next segment of the show, we'll talk with the Salvation Army of Niles to find out about what they've been up to. And we'll also hear about Bernie Sanders' weekend visit to Michigan. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. We're going to take a quick break right now. Stick around and we will be right back.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Monday edition of the program. I hope you had a lovely weekend. Right now for this segment, I thought we'd check in with the Salvation Army. They are doing what they can to help people affected by the floods. Last week, they were in the Berrien Springs giving people meals and water and things like that at the shelter over there at the middle school. And now they're starting to think about the long term, what happens next. I had a chance to talk with Salvation Army Niles Chapter's Lieutenant Joseph Hixenbaugh about some of their efforts. Let's hear what he had to tell me. Okay, Lieutenant. So you're located in Niles. So just from your perspective, the past week or so, what did you see in Niles?
Currently in Niles, we've seen a portion of the downtown area be flooded out because of the river over flooding its banks, and then down by the courthouse, the county house, building, just in that little inlet, there's been about, I would say, 8 to 10 houses that have been flooded. In the area. And then in Berrien Springs, we trailer park next to the river where the dam is, people have been displaced as well.
Hmm. You ever seen anything like that before in Niles?
I've only been here since June. Oh. And so not since I've been here, but I have heard reports that this is one of the worst floodings they've seen in years.
Okay, so what's the Salvation Army been up to?
Well, currently we are assisting feeding people at the shelter in Berrien Springs at the middle school, and we are also have flood kits available, and we are working with city officials as to what's going to happen when the floodwaters recede and how we best can help the communities affected by this flood.
Okay, so what is in a flood kit?
Well, what's in a flood kit is a heavy-duty like cleaning soap that it's to clean up flood from the flood. We also have a mop in there and a broom in there and a sponge and some scrubbers, and then just the bucket itself can be used for water and to put for the mop and stuff.
Okay, so at this point, you're looking at what happens next.
Definitely, once we heard the flood had happened, we have a canteen. It's been in and out of Berrien Springs, and we've been in contact with both Berrien Springs and Niles officials to kind of say, hey, we're already thinking what happens when the flood recedes, and we are just starting to put a game plan together as to the long-term aspects of what happens after the water goes away.
So the Salvation Army helped out at that shelter in Berrien Springs last week. Did you go over there personally?
Yeah, I've been there since Thursday. We've been there every day in various capacities, either serving water or serving meals. And we've been coordinating with not only the city but also the Red Cross as to what's needed in the area.
And I know the Salvation Army could always use some extra help. If somebody wants to help, what should they do?
Currently, we're asking for monetary donations. That is the easiest way to help the flood victims. It provides a way for us to give an individual case-by-case basis of how to help them. And we're also asking for non-perishable food items as well.
So what should someone do if they want to do either of those things?
What they can do is that you can drop it off at our main building at 424 North 15th Street here in Niles, or they can mail a donation in to our P.O. Box, 1150 in Niles. And if it's a food donation, just give us a call, and we can see about getting the food to us, or they can just drop it off. Our number is 269-684-2660.
You mentioned you have a P.O. Box down there?
The P.O. Box is 1150, and if they don't want to drop off the check or their donation, they can just mail it in, and we will make sure it gets handled. Now, what I want to say about monetary donation specifically is 100% of that donation that is given towards the flood victims stays for the flood victims, and it will stay in the area.
Earlier, you mentioned Cass County. So has there been much that you've had to do there?
We have our ear to the ground in Cass County, so to speak. We're keeping monitoring the situation. We haven't heard any housing displacements as of yet. We've seen a number of road closing in Cass County, but it's so far that all we have heard is just road closings. But we are monitoring Cass County as well. That's our service areas, and so we're just making sure that they're not. We're prepared if something happens that we need to be over there as well.
Okay, we're talking with Joseph Hixenbaugh, Lieutenant with the Salvation Army in Niles. You mentioned the address to make a donation. Can you give us the full address so I can stick it out on the website?
Yeah, the Salvation Army, P.O. Box 1150, is where they can send the checks, or they can drop it off at 15th Street in Niles.
All right, that's Joseph Hixenbaugh. He's in charge of the Salvation Army post in Niles. They're one of the groups helping out. Many different ways that you can help. You can also donate something to the Berrien County Animal Control Shelter. I know they've been taking care of pets that got separated from their owners last week. And that's another idea. We'll be trying to catch up with them in the next few days here. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Right now, I thought I'd tell you about something else that happened over the weekend. This was not flood-related, amazingly. No, this was political. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders was in Michigan over the weekend. He spoke yesterday, and he spoke against the recent tax changes that were signed into law by President Trump. Bernie Sanders, speaking at the Lansing Center in Lansing, the independent from Vermont, criticized the Koch brothers and their backing of the Republican Party.
Their plan, led by Donald Trump, is to try to divide the American people up based on the color of our skin, the country we came from, based on our religion, based on our gender, based on our sexual orientation.
So that's Bernie Sanders, the guy who would have gotten the Democratic nomination for president if a lot of folks had had their way. He won Michigan's primary, actually. And speaking in Lansing last night, he continued to blast Republicans and the tax cuts and all that. He said the legislation is only about giving tax breaks to the wealthiest people in the country.
Their tax bill, by the way, would raise the deficit over a 10-year period by $1.4 trillion. Tax breaks for the rich, you raise the deficit, and then you go to the American people and say, oh my God, the deficit is going up. We've got to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, education, and nutrition programs.
So that's Senator Bernie Sanders there seeing a pattern and making a prediction. In addition to talking about taxes last night, Sanders hit on some familiar themes from his campaign. That included protecting net neutrality, a deferred action for childhood arrivals, and a $15 minimum wage. Is he going to run for president again? I don't know. In 2016, Sanders won Michigan's Democratic primary over Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump later on won the state in the general election. That's Bernie Sanders coming to Michigan and getting some attention over the weekend. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and we'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll learn about what Consumers Energy has been up to. This is a utility in Michigan, providing electricity to millions of people around the state. Last week, they made a big announcement about their energy goals. They are hoping to rely more on renewable energy sources. We'll learn about that on the next segment of the show. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around and we'll be right back.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Monday edition of the show. Aren't you glad that another work week has started? So far in today's program, we got some updates regarding the flooding situation down in Niles and also in Berrien Springs. We heard from the Sheriff's Department. We heard about the United Way's fundraising efforts. They've set up a disaster relief fund. We'll hear more about that tomorrow. Also, we heard from the Niles Salvation Army on today's program about what they've been doing to try to help people affected by the floods. And for this segment of the show, I thought we'd check in with Consumers Energy Utility in Michigan. Consumers Energy last week made a big announcement. They said that they are going to diversify their energy portfolio and try to produce more energy with renewable sources, and they set a goal of having all this done by 2040. I had a chance to catch up with Consumers Energy spokesperson Brian Wheeler to learn more about this. Let's hear what Brian had to tell me. Okay, Brian, so Consumers Energy has made a big announcement regarding its goals for its energy portfolio. Tell us what was announced last week.
Yeah, so we're really excited at Consumers Energy because today we've set some really ambitious long-term energy goals for ourselves and for our state. By 2040, we expect to be done burning coal to generate electricity. In addition, we're going to be reducing our carbon footprint by 80% and really looking to go more in the direction of renewable energy. Our goal is to generate about 40% of our electricity from renewable sources, such as wind and solar, by 2040.
Okay, is this in response to any sort of state rule or mandate or anything like that?
No, this is really us taking a look at who we are and where we want to be. There are a lot of benefits to going in the direction of clean energy. For one, there will be job opportunities, of course, as we're developing new wind and solar projects across the state. Unlike coal or natural gas, you don't have to import the energy source from out of state. We're really relying on Michigan's natural resources, the wind that blows, the sun that shines, and the hydro facilities that are right here in our state. In addition, there's a real benefit from an economic development perspective. A lot of companies that are looking at states like Michigan to locate want to see that there are efforts to promote green energy. And so if we can show that we're doing this, this makes Michigan a much more attractive place for large companies that are looking to do business. And so we expect it's going to really benefit economic development in a lot of ways.
So are you aware of any other utilities that have set these kinds of energy portfolio goals?
Yeah, this is certainly a direction that our company and our industry are going in. Other companies, including DTE Energy, have set different renewable energy goals. And so it's really taking advantage of the fact that renewable energy today is more affordable and more reliable than it was maybe a generation ago. Traditionally, energy sources such as wind and solar have been more expensive than coal or natural gas, and so it's made them less attractive. As the prices have come down, it makes it more easy for us to be able to say whether this is best for us from an affordability standpoint, a reliability standpoint, and of course we know it's good for the environment.
So Consumers Energy is phasing out coal. What percentage of your energy portfolio right now is comprised of coal?
Yeah, about a quarter of our energy capacity, of the energy that we have available, comes from coal today. We have 5 coal-burning plants throughout the state. Some are in West Michigan, the Campbell plant in West Olive, and then some are in the Bay region. So we already closed 7 coal plants in 2016. We have 5 remaining, and we're saying today that we will be closing those by 2040. And then we'll look to replace that energy source with more renewables.
So are we going to see like more wind farms being built around Michigan?
Yeah, we think wind is a big part of it. We know solar is going to become an even bigger part of it as well. Today we have a couple of solar power plants at Grand Valley State University and at Western Michigan University, in addition to homes and businesses that have their own solar panels. Solar is much more affordable, much more reliable than it used to be, so it looks much more promising for us. At the same time, we're also taking advantage of some innovation within our industry. We don't talk about this a lot, but battery storage is very important. So if you think we can start to develop large-scale batteries that can store energy, excess energy that gets generated at different times of the day, and then we can put that into use at times when it's more necessary. So that sort of battery storage, that sort of change in technology, allows us to go more in the direction of renewables and away from fossil fuels.
So will you be reducing your reliance on natural gas as well?
We have 2 natural gas-fired plants. One is in Zeeland, and then one is in Jackson. We expect those will stay open for the foreseeable future, but we're not making any other plans to build additional natural gas plants at this point. So as we move forward, as we need to develop new sources of energy, that's where you're going to see a lot of renewables come online here in Michigan.
And solar is going to be a big part of this.
Solar is going to be a very big part of it because there's interest. It's the sort of thing that you can put in lots of different locations. We open up those 2 solar power plants we talked about, but we also have programs where we can work with homeowners who want to put solar panels on their rooftop, for example, or businesses that want to put them on their property. So there's a lot of possibility, and we don't think about Michigan, of course, being as sunny as other parts of the country, but it's more possible today than it was a generation ago.
We're talking to Brian Wheeler from Consumers Energy. So this renewable energy announcement, will this affect customers?
Well, We know from our customers, we know from a lot of people that we talk to, that there's a lot of interest in us doing our part to help the environment and to help the planet. So these sorts of goals really, really go toward a lot of customer desires. In terms of affordability, that's always very important too. And our projection, our work is going to be that we keep any growth in terms of customer prices to inflation or lower. So we want to be able to do good for the environment and also look out for the pocketbooks of our customers. We think it's possible to do really all of the above without compromising anything.
So Consumers Energy is getting rid of coal energy production by 2040.
No coal. Yep. We'll be closing our existing coal plants by 2040. We know there are people and taxpayers in those communities that we talked about that have coal plants, and we'll be working to develop transition plans, and over time we're going to be setting deadlines and dates where we'll be making our decisions. Right now all we're saying is that we'll stop burning coal by 2040, but as we make those decisions and set those real timelines, we'll make sure that we're working with the affected communities as well.
We're talking to Brian Wheeler from Consumers Energy. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Brian?
I think it's a big thing. I mean, one thing that I say is that this is really an exciting time for our industry. I mean, if you think back to the late 1800s when Michigan and the world became more electrified, I think you're looking at it, this is really a historic moment. You're going to see this is the time frame where renewable energy really comes into its own. And what we're doing today is really paving the way for that to continue to happen.
Okay, that was Consumers Energy spokesperson Brian Wheeler. Consumers Energy, a Michigan-based utility, phasing out coal by 2040. They want to reduce their carbon footprint by 80%. Consumers has 5 coal plants in Michigan right now. They will be shuttered in the coming years. Wheeler there told us solar energy will be a big part of the utility's plans moving forward because the costs have come down for those solar farms. By 2040, Consumers Energy wants to generate 40% of its power from renewables, with solar being a big part of that. Not so much wind, but solar, he was saying. And so that's what Consumers Energy has been up to. And it's your move now, INM. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. One last thing to tell you about before we close out this edition of the program, and that is what the state Senate is doing this week. They're going to take a crack at road funding. This week in Lansing, the Michigan Senate is expected to take up a plan to spend more money on road repairs. Now, you recall last week, the State House voted to release $175 million for road work this coming year. State Representative Laura Cox of Livonia spoke on the House floor last week prior to passage of that plan.
Pothole season is already here, and it is getting worse day by day.
That State Rep Laura Cox of Livonia, she continued.
House Bill 4321 is a $175 million supplemental bill package that helps every single geographical region in Michigan, from Iron Mountain to Monroe, from Whitehall to Port Hope.
So there you go. Governor Rick Snyder had proposed spending the money in the next fiscal year, which starts in October, but the State House last week said, no, let's do it this year. The chamber voted 109-0. We could get a Senate vote on that same plan as soon as tomorrow. $175 million extra for roads this year in Michigan. We know that that money is certainly needed, especially as the state recovers from floods. We'll keep you filled in on what the state Senate does next. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for another edition of Our Take. I've been the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to have been with you. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll talk with the United Way about their flood relief fund. We'll also talk with State Representative Beth Griffin and State Senator Tanya Shoemaker, both about things they've got going on in Lansing. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This has been Our Take. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
Yeah.